You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Try to contain myself a little bit tonight, so I'm starting off with some Moonlight Serenade by one of the patron saints of this show, Frank Sinatra.
I stand at your gate.
I just want to stand at somebody's gate. There's no more gates left. There's no more gates. Nobody hangs out on boardwalks. Nobody chills. The moonlight we've been having lately has been one that's so smoggy. I just want to find all of those magical nights we've been told about by our grandparents when they were alive, about what used to go down on the boardwalks at Playland overlooking the Long Island Sound in Rye, New York. All the big band orchestras that would show up and everybody go out to dance. Now, of course, if you're walking down the boardwalk at night, at any night, any particular night of the week in the summer, you need to have at least a knife on you. So, I don't know. Maybe there's still a chance, you know what I mean? Although, I don't know if there's going to be that much of it. You know, I look at all the disintegration of the soul that's going on here. And let's go back to Colin Kaepernick for a second. Just for a second. Because it's not so much about him as it is Jerry Rice stood up today, and is either today or yesterday, stood up and said something unthinkable. We'll talk about that in just a second. But Colin Kaepernick gets in front. He does another press conference. The $12 million a year bench player. And he had this shirt on of Fidel Castro and Malcolm X, and it said, "Great minds think alike," or something like that. He's just pretty much a out-and-out Marxist. And, of course, he has the right to say any nonsensical, inane thing that he wants to say, but so do we. And just because certain types of thinking has been deemed the right thing to say and the protected thing to say, and certain types of criticism of ridiculous things that were said is deemed the wrong thing to say, the backward thing to say, the racist thing to say. Oh, I can't wait to get around to the little excerpt of Article 23 that I took out of the Mexican Constitution the other day to show you just how racist the Mexicans are, according to leftists here in the United States, that is. But Colin Kaepernick goes up there, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this rabble-rousing, useful idiot over here, he's so in love with the Castros of the world, so in love with all of the far-left ideologies of the world. Meanwhile, he's playing, or not playing, a $115 million contract. I, right off the bat, demand that Colin Kaepernick give up 90% of his contract's worth. And it should not be taken away from... it should be the net, not the gross. Okay, his agent shouldn't have to suffer through the bullshit of... Unbelievable. Now, Jerry Rice says something unthinkable. Unthinkable. Okay? Listen to this tweet. Okay? Let it be known. Here's a tweet. I'll start off with that first, and you can just the reasonable human being, the human beings that you are, if you listen to this show and you haven't given up on me yet, you tell me what the reaction to this tweet was, okay? Here's Jerry Rice, August 29th, 2016, 10:43 p.m., okay? All lives matter, period. So much going on in this world today, period. Can we all just get along? Exclamation point. Colin, comma, I respect your stance, but don't disrespect the flag. Nice. Jerry Rice. 25,000 likes, 13,000 retweets. So let's get to a little bit of the editorializing that the author here wrote, but that's not really what I want to get around to. You guys form your own opinions, whatnot. I want to get around to some of the responses just to show you what the right side of history really is these days, what it is. I'll show you. Let it be known that no one is ever black enough, woman enough, Hispanic enough, or gay enough to challenge social justice dogma and come out unscathed. Football great Jerry Rice was the latest to discover this when he made the mistake of tweeting that Colin Kaepernick's refusal to stand for the national anthem was disrespectful and even uttered the phrase, all lives matter. Can you imagine that? That is a shameful utterance? Can you imagine what a shameful utterance that is these days? To say all lives matter. That human beings with pulses and fully functional organs, at least the internal kind, not the one up top in the dome. I guess that is internal. But I'm talking about the real internal organs. Okay, not the brain. That's like something of its own. Here's one from Willie D. Here's a tweet from Willie D. It's an account that's verified, so I don't even know who the hell Willie D is. He says, Jerry Rice, if you respect his stance, why are you speaking against it? Oh, that's right. You're a coon. Benjamin Dixon says, at Jerry Rice, can't we all just get along? How much respect did the officers have beating Rodney King's ass while they wore the flag? Yes, because I remember the tapes of the Rodney King beating, how every last officer was just draped in the American flag. I remember that. That was a day that left a scar on the face of America, in more ways than one, obviously. Here's Karma Jones, says, at Jerry Rice, the cooning never ends. Miko Grimes says, Jerry Rice, shut your ass up. Keep your Uncle Tom dick in the booty ass, in the closet, and out of real black people's affairs. So there's some of your dyed-in-the-wool homophobia as well. Not only your racism and your self-loathing. I put the microphone on for you, Matt.
I've been trying. The other day, I don't know if you saw, but I've had enough of all this white supremacist cop police state bullshit and disrespecting the flag and this and that. 100,000+ Union troops fought and died under that fucking flag to abolish slavery, to abolish oppression. And your answer is to disrespect the flag? Why don't you donate some of your fucking money to have enough money to create a charity in whatever town to help out the fucking poor people.
Listen to this, though. Talking about Black Lives Matter and everything else, and which is really what is at the basis of all this. Here's something that was actually, I just saw it tweeted out by Glenn Beck not too long before the show started, because it was based around a hacked email, one of the hacked emails from Nancy Pelosi's office. Reportedly a hack from Guccifer 2.0. So I'm just going to read this to you. This was written by Lori. Okay, at glennbeck.com. But remember, forget about the Glenn Beck tie-in and the name Glenn Beck and the weight that has carried over the years. Forget about all that. This is a recent hack of Nancy Pelosi, Miss Facelift herself. She doesn't have the ability to show any expression because she no longer has a face that's hers. She looks like she's wearing an Egyptian burial mask. The latest emails released by WikiLeaks include some of the personal computer of the House Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi. Reportedly, a hack from Guccifer 2.0 uncovered damaging revelations about the Democratic Party and what its operatives really think about Black Lives Matter behind closed doors. Quote, this was hacked into and taken off of the computer by Nancy Pelosi. This is off of her personal computer. Think of what they have, Glenn said Thursday on his radio program. The subject of the memo addressed to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC, was about Black Lives Matter and noted for internal use only. At the very top of the confidential memo, remember, these are some of those very same memos that are passed around the ranks, rank and file of the Democratic Party. Are, you know, all those really wonderful ways of talking about their goals and how to achieve them, who they have to question, who they have to frame, who they have to create a fake scandal around, who they have to hire fake protesters to go out and protest to show some kind of resistance, and who they have to slander as a racist or an atheist in Bernie Sanders' case, who they have to, you know, what they have to do to take in and trap those Hispanic voters for generations because of how loyal of a consumer base they really are. But of course, they don't call them Hispanics. They call them the Taco Bowl. They call them Taco Bowl. That's what they refer to them as. So remember, this is coming from the same, this is cut from the same cloth of people. The subject of the memo, okay, this document should not be, at the top of the confidential memo was a warning in bold lettering. This document should not be emailed or handed to anyone outside of the building. Please only give campaign staff these best practices in meetings or over the phone. Here's some of the contents of the memo on air that we read. Presidential candidates have struggled to respond to the tactics of Black Lives Matter movement. While there has been little engagement with House candidates and campaign staff should be prepared. This document should not be emailed or handed to anyone outside of the building. Please only give campaign staff, blah, blah, blah. So here's what the memo goes on to describe Black Lives Matter as, pretty much as a radical movement which seeks to end anti-black racism, okay? Tactics. This is all in the memo. Tactics. Democrats are told that invites to BLM attendees should be limited. The aim you should ask for personal or small group meetings. Do not offer any support for concrete policy positions. They're not going to give you your free education. They're not going to give you reparations. You're not going to get a quarter of some land in Georgia. Nothing's coming to you. You are being coddled and petted like a pet. Petted like a furry animal. You are a chinchilla, my friends. Do not offer any support for concrete policy positions. Here's more of the tactics. Meet with local activists. If Black Lives Matter, if approached by Black Lives activists, campaign staff should offer, if approached by BLM activists, campaign staff should offer to meet with local activists. Invited BLM attendees should be limited. Aim for personal, small group. Listen to their concerns. Do not offer any concrete policy positions. Here's more. The message. Do not say all lives matter, nor mention black-on-black crime. Okay? These are all viewed as red herring attacks. So the truth is a red herring. Remember, you want to embolden and you want to reinforce the complete detachment from reality that is needed to keep this movement going and to be controllable and malleable and used to our will. Okay? You don't want them to ever have a balanced view of what their personal responsibility in the state of affairs might be, aside from what the responsibility of government is, which Democrats definitely don't want you snooping around into because they're the ones that created it, for the most part. From the New Deal to the Great Society to the, you look at it, War on Drugs was through the Reagan administration.
Jim Crow,
segregation, you name it, it's all there. They don't want you poking around into unapproved pieces of history because then that would actually show you that would actually show any kind of disenfranchised or downtrodden or somebody who feels downtrodden in the black community who wants to know historically who their best friends have been in and who their worst enemies have been. And maybe a more constructive way to balance the two. They don't want balance. They want to completely reinforce the psychosis and the detachment from reality so that a movement remains blind but remains passionate. You need that passion to stay intact, but you need the movement to remain blind. That way, you can point them in any direction, and like a wind-up toy, they will go bounding forward with reckless abandon.
I pulled up, while you're saying that, I pulled up LBJ's black voting Democrat quote, just so you get an idea on how Democrats have their hold on most of the minority vote. He says here, I mean, I don't really like to use these words, but these were the words he used. These Negroes, they're getting pretty uppity these days, and that's a problem for us since they've got something now they've never had before. The political poll to back up their uppityness. Now we've got to do something about this. We've got to give them a little something, a handout, just enough to quiet them down, not enough to make a difference. And I mean, I don't really want to use the word that's in this sentence, but like I said, a Democrat president said this in 1963. I'll have them niggers voting Democrat for the next 200 years.
And you know what I really, 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 and I believe that is, some of that was caught on tape, actually. Yeah, I think you can actually get the soundbite for that. And I really love how Ben Carson brought that up on the campaign trail before he dropped out.
You can also get a sound clip of JFK voted against whatever bill it was or whatever for the civil rights movement. But you can also hear a clip of Robert Kennedy on the phone with Lyndon Baines Johnson, pretty much ask him about the murder of his president and implying, like why did you like set my brother up kind of thing. That's out there, too.
Also, so, if anybody has, on that note that Matt brought up, if anybody has, if you have Netflix, do something. And go and pick up, I think it was done by CNN. I don't know what it's done, but it's a series called, Matt, who did the series on the 60s?
I don't know.
Do watch the series on the 60s. Just go for it. The first two episodes are amazing. I want to talk to my parents about what they remember about the Cuban Missile Crisis now. Because it's it was palpable to watch just in the documentary last night, but watch that. You want to learn a little bit more about LBJ, too. That's definitely coming up soon.
I'm reading some other stuff here. He's definitely, right? Tom Hanks did that? He's definitely...
That microphone's live, Tom.
LBJ did use the...
Tom Hanks?
The prevailing...
Produced it, Tom Hanks? Because I know he was he was one of the voices... In the first episode when they were talking about the television revolution in the 60s, and he's talking about media.
Gary Goetzen.
I don't see this is weird. This is Lone Star Rising, Lyndon Johnson. It's a book, I guess, of his life. And this is him when he was defending the appointment of Thurgood Marshall, where his quote to a staff member was, "Son, when I appoint a nigger to the court, I want everyone to know he's a nigger." I don't get what that is, because wasn't Thurgood Marshall...
He was the first Supreme Court
justice.
Wasn't
he also a good old boy Democrat, too, what I heard?
I don't know. I just know he was the first black Supreme Court justice. I don't know too much more about him, though.
I'd like to know a little bit more.
But here's more to this memo, though. Do not say all lives matter, nor mention black-on-black crime. These are all viewed as red herring attacks. This response will garner additional media scrutiny and only anger the BLM activists. This is the worst response you can give. Moreover, here they keep going, Democrats are instructed to use the following talking point. And you tell me how many times we've heard this come out. A history of systematic racism continues to affront the daily lives of African Americans. How many times have we heard that over the last few months or year or two? So let's go on with the rest of this article. It's only a little bit more. So this is, I guess, from Glenn Beck. He said, so Democrats are saying that internal memos that these guys are radical, not to really give them anything. and not to really give them anything. You can meet with them, you can say these things, but they're radical. Distance yourself from them and they're all, and offer no solutions. Does that sound like what Democrats, the party of oppressed black people, should be saying about a group that claims to be working for equal justice for black people? Shouldn't Democrats and Black Lives Matter be on the same page and have the same goals? The memo made one thing very clear. You don't care. You speak the language that you need to speak, but you don't do anything about it. Anybody with any sense knows how the Democrats actually feel about black people. If Democrats cared anything about black people and not black votes, they would have put policies in place to solve problems facing their inner cities, which have been under Democratic rule for decades. Unemployment during the Great Depression was about 25%. Today, 85% of African Americans under the age of 24 are underemployed or unemployed, and it's 45 to 85% for the entire black community. So there's nothing else really to talk about here when it comes to the Democrat Party and why anybody is going there for to have their social justice whims appeased. Why do you think there's still a 1%, everybody? And why do you think that, well, while the rich get richer, even though we've had so many Democratic presidents over the last 16 years, so many years of Democrat super majorities and all that stuff. And to be honest, don't give any credit to George Bush either. The size of the federal government tripled under his presidency. Okay? But you look at this stuff and you're wondering, oh my God. You look at and then it bleeds down to Colin Kaepernick. Who do you think he's voting for? Who do you think that freak is voting for?
He's not going to vote for Clinton.
And then Jerry Rice, people like Jerry Rice get destroyed.
Rice was always a class act.
It's unbelievable. What kind of country are people really voting? What kind of country are people really striving for? That's my question. What are they striving for? It just doesn't seem very... Oh, my God. Here's another one that just came out today off of Washington, CBS Local. Georgetown University is set to give slave descendants priority in admission. You tell me what the hell is going on in September of 2016, when we are now going to start digging up, and if you think that Elizabeth Warren lying about being 1/16th Cherokee or whatever it is to get some kind of special treatment in college, if you think that is bad, everybody's going to be the descendant of a slave now. Everybody. What are you going to do? Deny them that? You're going to deny them that? And you're going to start taking up all the lawsuits that are going to come from denying them? Absolutely not. Everybody's going to be. But here's the problem. This is what I wanted to know. And then and you want to talk about conspiracy. Why in 2016 are we talking about stuff like this again when we already fought for equal opportunity? Why? Think about how backwards things are going. Why are we being sent backwards? Who does it help? Because it's not helping black people who are going to stand to benefit from any of this stuff. As we're seeing, it doesn't matter how much money we pump into federal education. The poor, the impoverished, the people who have suffered the most from government oppression and the weight of government regulation, they're not having any success. Putting money into federal education coffers has not turned every child into Einstein. All it's done is racked up unbelievable amounts of debt for people who can't pay them back because there's no jobs waiting for them on the other end of their six-year gender studies career, their African studies career, their bisexual Asian flutist studies career. There's nothing waiting for the end of that. So what we have now is, you know, a big part of the over $1 trillion bubble that's about to burst in education. And everybody has useless, devalued pieces of paper that they call degrees waiting at home while they're picking up odd jobs or not working at all, deferring their loan payments and just skating along. Why? Who does it help? to have a nation full of people that are spending money they don't have, they can't pay back, to have useless pieces of paper just to appease some kind of social justice quota that has been dug up and resurrected from the grave. By whom? For whom? That's my question. And here's the other thing. Professor Lawson Bowling was on the air with us last Thursday, and he talked about some of the quotes talked about, some of the quotes that were very outwardly given by members of the rank and file of the Confederate States of America when the Civil War was being fought and when there was really two separate countries existing in the North American continent, or at least our part of the North American continent. And what we have here is some quotes. One of them being, we can't free the slaves because they'll... Actually, hold on. I want to get the exact one. Can't... Hold on. Nobody can stop it. We don't kill us all. Hold on. Slavery and racism. I think it was the vice president of the Confederate States. In either case, one of the quotes, and I have to get this from Professor Bowling again, was a sentiment that to free the slaves mean that the slaves would kill us all. To give them freedom, to give them education means that the slaves, that it would mean murder to the slaveholder. Okay? And with that being said, what I want to know is this. Where are we right now if the biggest thing that's being pushed is education for people? Let me rephrase. If the sentiment during the Civil War for slaveholders in the Confederacy was that if they had freedom, if they had education, and they were able to arm themselves, they would kill us all. If that was a sentiment in the 19th century, mid to late 19th century, then what do you think is one of the things that is going to happen, at least socially, not saying violent, but at least socially, that is going to happen and is happening when you have people who have been now convinced on a daily basis by a group of political actors and actresses who go out there and convince people of an oppression that stems from a slavery that they are, that we are all so many generations away from, that they are still under that same thumb. What do you think happens when you give people, you crown them with that mantle, with that crown of victimhood, and then you open them up to educational opportunities in which they are going to be drawn and actually urged to study all of the ways they've been wronged? What do you think that creates? It creates generation, in my eyes, generations of subservient whites and brown supremacists, which is just the opposite of the equality everybody ever could have dreamed of. The opposite. It's just the pendulum swinging hard back in the other way. So this Marxist, cultural Marxist ideology is resurrecting the ghosts of a very ugly past that we had to fight a very bloody civil war over, where over 600,000, 700,000 people died.
If it were to happen today with the population, I think around 6 million people would have been dead. But in the Civil War, I think something like, for the Union Army under that racist American flag that they were fighting to abolish slavery, I think something like 32,000 freed slaves died fighting under that racist flag that, you know, they were fighting to abolish slavery.
Right.
That doesn't matter, though.
So somebody call in and tell me, what do you get when you reach back into time and you take the ugliest part of history with no context, nothing like that? You instill victimhood, you instill historical backing for that victimhood, exonerating your political party of all the blame of what they've been doing legislatively to hold a certain group of people down and eventually the entire country down. You take all of that victimhood, you place it onto somebody's head like a crown, you give them no context, and then you open up the treasury to get them into indoctrination centers we call colleges, liberal arts colleges, encourage them to study African studies, gender studies, the studies of the oppressed, and then send them on their way, even more upset that they're not making any money when they come out on the other end, and they've only had college-educated reinforcement, college-reinforced bigotry that has been put on them for those 4 years. Well, we're seeing what's happening. We're seeing all the cuckolded white guilt freaks that crawl around on their hands and knees trying to make friends with minorities by being whipping boys in themselves, self-flagellating like Silas from the Da Vinci Code. They go home and they whip themselves every night. And then you have these brown supremacist movements that are running all over the streets, and they're back and they're. That's it. Tell me where that goes. That's scary. Nobody's identifying that right now. Those are the nuances. Those are, where did it come from? Well, here's the little ways that it happens. Now, there's 10,000 other ways that this is creating a perfect storm that we're living in, but that's one of them. Really think about that. Really think about that. Got a bunch of neutered white guys and girls running around trying to make up for things that nobody who's living anymore has anything to do with. Mm. Nobody who's alive, the slave or the slave master. Nobody's alive anymore.
That's generations ago. It doesn't directly affect anybody anymore.
Doesn't.
I mean, that's what I don't understand. Like, I get, you know, the police, maybe they do target minorities more than whites, but as far as that, you're going to need to tell me because of your skin color you have a different opportunity for education. Like, you can go to whatever college you can go to if you can pay for it, or if you're smart enough to get accepted into whatever college. I mean, I really don't. I mean, maybe because I don't know. I hear about this oppression, and I guess I don't see it the way it's being brought out to be.
You're not wearing the right.
I thought that we, in the last 60 years alone, made all these improvements. As far as that goes, and all that work was just shit on, really within the last, when's this been going, 3.5, 4 years?
Yeah, it's really bubbled
so
over.
So you're talking about 4 years brought an entire civil rights movement, when the civil rights movement started with the birth of the Republican Party. All right, now Republicans might have changed this and that, but if you want real history, that was why the Republican Party was created. 100 years of civil rights just right down the fucking tube because people want to think about stuff 100 years ago.
Well, here's
or even
yesterday.
60 years ago. Even if it was 60 years ago, how are you directly affected by it today?
Here's campusreform.org from yesterday. Rutgers University. To avoid microaggressions, only speak when necessary. Only speak when necessary. Okay? Students in at least one Rutgers University residence hall are being encouraged to use only language that is, quote, helpful and, quote, necessary to avoid committing microaggressions. The display, which is part of the school's Language Matters campaign, also includes handwritten definitions of three types of microaggressions, as well as a flyer listing potentially offensive words and phrases. Let's see what some of these words and phrases are,
well,
shall we?
Is manslaughter on there? Because I'm offended that the word man is in manslaughter.
No, it's okay to slaughter men.
Oh, okay. So manslaughter is good.
It's totally okay to slaughter men.
How about a manhole? Is it still called a manhole, or is that sexist too?
No, it's a person hole. It's a person hole. Students in at least... Okay, hold on. Erected as a part of university's Language Matters campaign. Oh my God! What a terrible, terrible environment to learn in. The bulletin board instructs students to ask themselves whether their choice in words is true, helpful, inspiring, necessary. Because remember, if you don't necessarily have anything, you know, to say, you should not speak at all. Don't engage in conversation because, of course, you know, somebody who thinks they don't have something to say and magically finds themselves in the midst of a conversation and tries some lines of thought out, sees what works, sees what doesn't check out on the logical scale of things. Of course, those people will never have a chance to have an open conversation and find themselves ever again. Because, of course, speaking isn't necessary, especially if you haven't gotten your script from the local Black Lives Matter chapter, or Code Pink, or La Raza. Before speaking out and also including potentially offensive terms and terms like sort of, such as illegal aliens, it's an offensive term, and retarded. Can't say retarded anymore. The board suggests
retarded.
Yeah. Commit a microaggression, which includes micro assaults, micro insults, and micro invalidations. What about micro penis?
What's a micro assault?
A micro assault is something that matters to somebody who is the size of a Lego figure in their soul and their heart.
It's the first time I ever heard that one.
That's it. A microaggression is something that only matters to someone who is such an intellectual pipsqueak that they can't handle anything. They can't handle words. Okay? Challenge me on that. A microaggression is something that only matters to an intellectual pipsqueak. I don't even want to read this for the rest of the day. Fuck this article. I'm bringing retarded back. That's right. Good job, Nikki. Let's bring retarded back.
Jesus Christ.
We're bringing retarded back in such a hard way, man. It's coming fucking back.
What do they call first-year college students now?
Oh, no. They've all... Dude,
that changed?
I'm not even joking.
Was it fresh person?
No.
Or first-year college student?
It's called first-year students.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't... hold on. Let me tell you. Let me see what university said it.
Jesus.
Well, I think it might have been Princeton, because Princeton wants to get rid of all definitions, man and woman.
So senior, they would get rid of senior?
No, because you can be a senior woman. You can be a senior anything. That's just a mark of age and distinction, that's all. But I actually don't need to do the Google search anymore. I remember it was Princeton. Princeton University, this is the Ivy League, one of the first campuses on the continent. One of the first college campuses on the continent that's still around. Doesn't Princeton predate the country? It goes back to colonial times?
It's not Princeton, it's Yale. It's one of those.
Well, yeah, Yale, definitely. But there's a couple of pre-independence college campuses. In either case, the Ivy League is a joke. How does Princeton University... I don't understand how anybody... wants to go to that college anymore after learning that it's been turned into gender neutral, where you're being discouraged to use the word freshman.
Yeah, dude, Princeton University was founded, established, or whatever, in 1746.
And what was Harvard was what, 1600s?
Harvard.
Wait, whoa.
I know one was like 1680. Harvard, September 8th, 1636.
1636, Harvard. And remember, Harvard is one of the first universities to meddle with those free speech zones, and they believe that, you know, free speech had limits. Yep. And all that. This is unbelievable.
Even scarier, total enrollment in 2014, 21,000. That's a lot of people to brainwash.
That was the graduating class of what?
2014. You had...
Dude, I'm telling you, they're handling kids at... And here's the thing. Think about this. Because we always talk about... And here's all the nuances
Donald
that you don't...
Trump went there, I guess.
Here's all the nuances that you don't even get... You don't even think about, and nobody talks about in the news or anything like that. But as federal education blooms and as federal control over education starts to grow as well. You take more money from people to shove down the throats of all these kids to put them into colleges that they probably are not even, they're probably not even qualified to be in. But the thing is that because the colleges are in the back pockets of the same cultural idealists who are running the country into the ground, that are pushing it toward Marxism every day, because the colleges are basically walking in lockstep with the government's core principles now, or the people who run the government's core principles now, which is the common core type of principles, the anti-free speech, the microaggression principles, the gender neutral everything, the social experimentation type of stuff, all this shit. Because they're in lockstep, where you pretty much have unlimited amount of money, the reason, A, colleges are becoming so expensive is because, A, you're pushing more kids into them. So colleges not only know that they're pretty much getting a blank federal check to do whatever they want, they have to build more dormitories. They have to make room in more classrooms. They have to take on more teachers. So, of course, tuition is going to become more expensive because they're forcing more kids onto these college campuses. But in the case of the government, it's a small price to pay. You already want to bankrupt and destroy the American currency anyway. And if you can get tens of thousands of more kids to be indoctrinated into your ridiculous way of thinking in the meantime, why not do it? Because when they come out on the other side of college and they can't make money with the degrees that you've given them, then they're going to vote for your overall centralized takeover even more. They have created something that is such a perfect monster that there are ways that it's working for them and against us that have not even been articulated yet. Because it's so fucking deep and subtle. Johnny, what do you think about that, man?
I think it's so true. And there's a headline that ties into this whole thing that has problems with colleges that is active still today for some reason. Penn State decides, a publicly funded university, mind you, they're founded, I just was reading a couple quick facts, 1855. So this is an old place. Huge college. Huge federal check. And they still insist on supporting Joe Paterno. And now, mind you, this is they have a law school, but they're primarily a liberal arts college. They say it's comparable to the Ivy League schools. And Joe Paterno, who is through and through, if you don't believe he knew exactly what that scumbag was doing to those kids,
he did.
Then you are a fucking clown. And yet the kids there will scream and kick when they wanted to take down the Joe Pa statue. They said, where's our... They literally marched the streets and said, where's our statue?
I don't know. I remember it. I remember it.
And it's still going on. They're honoring him on the 17th when they have their first home game.
It's very, very odd. There's a lot of weirdness.
I mean, you could dive further into that, but it just, for me, it jumps out as, this is a fucking funded by the taxpayers place. Where is the outrage across, like, this should be like Trump level outrage.
Not only that, but why the hell are people taking these contradictory social justice stances? Why the hell are people, you know, especially because he's such a big sports figure, you'd think that there'd be such a bigger backlash to reject somebody.
He's a white old guy who is a football coach. This should be like their primary target.
It's honestly ridiculous. The other thing that's ridiculous to me, it goes, you talk
and
about,
I could get behind that one.
Dude, and you want to talk about contradictory stances? Think about what we said about the other night about the Huffington Post. Huffington Post, they take down David Seaman's article about Hillary's health because it became a very, very popular article. They terminated him. 2 days later, they put out an article of their own talking about why some scientists say that it's Trump, not Hillary, that could die before she does. So you have all these biases, and then what do the people who come out and defend Huffington Post's censoring of free press and free speech say? Well, they're a private organization. They can do what they want. So here you go. The same people who go out and lobby about free association is the most bigoted, hateful thing you can do and the antithesis of freedom you can do when it comes to people baking cakes. When it comes to free press, which is the First Amendment, Then it's Jesus Christ, it's unbelievable. You're never going to win an argument with any of these crazies, and that is the reason why they're winning, because they've been sold on something that is so flawed in its philosophical base that there's no way you can pin them down. They live through contradiction. All of these cultists.
And the whole, like, not to go back to the Penn State thing, but it is, like, it legitimately freaks me out that the facts are out there. Everything is out there. That guy is locked in jail. And the people love him. They're like, he didn't actually know what was going on for the last 40 years in his locker room. A football coach from a Division I football team. You think he doesn't know what's going on?
Definitely does. He knew about Sandusky, definitely.
And, I mean, I could make a freaking timeline. Because, like, I just, this is, like, my scope of headlines generally, like, falls upon, like, sports stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the things that just bleeds through. Because sports, it doesn't, you know, hit home so hard. This is one of the things that bleeds through and just makes me so fucking mad.
Hey, what about, I'm kind of like derailing you here, but I saw this one article yesterday. I thought it was funny, and it was too late. I was just too tired. I was going to copy the URL and tag you on Tumblr, but the headline was Tom Brady does first press conference sporting new Megyn Kelly haircut.
Oh, my God, what was that?
Dude, I saw his haircut, and I started laughing my fucking ass off. It looked like... Hold on, Matt. I got to get... Hold on. Let me get this.
Let's get the picture up.
Tom Brady.
The first one I saw was, hey, guys, do you want to go play soccer in 1996?
Hold on a second. Tom Brady shows off his new haircut, and it's promptly ridiculed online. Wait, I want to go to the one that says, the internet absolutely slaughtered Tom Brady's new Megyn Kelly haircut. Hold on a second.
He got slaughtered here, too. Like, that was, like, and that man cannot do anything wrong in this
region. There he is.
Region.
It does. It does. Megyn Kelly. I don't know.
The ice queen.
Well, you know, listen, when you've had the hair restoration that he's had, you deserve to try out whatever the hell you want. If I went out and somebody said, hey, listen, Frank, I want to sponsor your show. But, you know, we're a hair restoration company, so here's what we want to do. We want to give you $50,000 to sponsor your show for an entire year, and we want to offer you a $13,000 promotional package to restore your hair. I'd say, okay, fuck it. Go ahead, yeah. Give me my hair back. You got it. We'll do it. And if you think that I wouldn't try some new things with my head, just knowing what I can do, oh, my God. So good for him.
Jenny said it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, my God. That's true. Jenny Lee. Good job. Jenny Lee, let me tell you a story about Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Okay. In fourth grade, okay, we were, you know, me and the rest of the guys in my class, in fourth grade, we were very, very jealous of how much, you know, we were secretly jealous of how much the girls in our class loved Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Blossom. And you know what, Joey Blossom? What was his name, Mike? Matt? Joey, what's his name? Whoa! What was his name? Well, there's that. There was a few other big characters. Of course, everybody loved John Stamos on Full House, although he was an adult crush. But Jonathan Taylor Thomas, JTT, motherfucker, he was the bane of our existence. Now, on the outside, we all hated him. On the inside, we were jealous the hell of him, okay? And we, in fourth grade, we came up with a plan to go to Los Angeles and assassinate JTT, and we had our getaway cars, and we had our attack helicopters that we picked out. Now, I have all of the books still that we were picking all this out of in the other room in the library. It was a classic cars book of mine. It was a big book, and it had classic cars in there, and we were going to use, I remember, we were looking at the cars that looked like they can go the fastest, and the fastest one in that book was a Ferrari F40, and I think it went like 240 miles an hour. He said, okay, so we're going to use a Ferrari F40 as our getaway car. But how we're going to kill JTT is with an attack helicopter. And I also have this book in the other room called Milestones of Manned Flight. And the attack helicopter that we picked up was, I believe, a Russian helicopter. It was called the KA-50 Werewolf. You can go check it out. I still remember it. I still remember the KA-50 Werewolf because this fucking thing had so many missiles on it. We're like, this is unbelievable. So I remember that JTT, KA-50 Werewolf, and the Ferrari F-40. That was our getaway and attack vehicles to finally put an end to the guy that was stealing all the girls we liked so much. That was...
Dude, my favorite part is you played, like, months ago, you played old school ZNY.
Oh, let me show you. Yeah.
And JTT still shows up. Weren't you guys getting yelled at on YouTube comments for talking about his death?
Yeah, YouTube didn't like that. Hold on. JTT, hold
on. Blossom is actually really hot right now. She's 40 years old, and she's really hot.
Yeah, but wasn't there a guy on...
Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence. That's what everybody loved.
This chick became a neuroscientist.
Here, this is... This is Jonathan Taylor Thomas is dead. This is from our old Zarals in New York. This was uploaded in 2008, so it probably happened soon before that. October 13th, 2008.
So the disdain does not end as adults.
No, not at all. This has 9,500 views, 6 likes, 28 dislikes. We can read some of the comments after. It'll be the last thing we do because the show's about to end. But let's watch this. Obviously, this is a joke. It's called Whatever Happened to JTT? I tried keeping a straight face, but it didn't work. Okay, watch this, everybody. Or listen to it if you're at home.
Let me see here. Jonathan Taylor Thomas dead. At age 24.
That's our bedroom. That's Anthony's bedroom.
Bullshit.
In my bedroom.
I'm gonna read it to you right now.
Okay, Frank,
all right, let's see if Frank can actually...
Were you guys running cables across the hallway kind of deal?
No. Yep. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, 24-year-old actor from the well-known TV hit in the 90s, Home Improvement, was pronounced dead in Los Angeles Hospital today. He first contracted a violent case of raging melanoma. A violent case.
Oh, my God! It's so violent! Get it off!
Why can't I hear
New York every Tuesday and Thursday night?
Dude, that was the thing. If I had known that we were... All this stuff, we don't rehearse any of the things we ever do on the air. And like I said, we've been on the air for 10 years now. Over 10 years. That was back in 2008, so that was 8 years ago. And if I had known we were going to do Jonathan Taylor... If I was going to hoax people about Jonathan Taylor Thomas, I would have actually written a paragraph or two... I was just trying to do it all off the top of my head, and that's why I finally stumbled, and I said a violent case of raging melanoma. And here's some of the people in the chat room. They say, this was 4 years ago. Somebody said Danielle Bizzell. Danielle Bizzell said 4 years ago, you guys are hilarious. I remember watching this a few years ago, and the guy with the long hair is sexy. That's Anthony. Here's Samantha Gilhesian, 4 years ago, said, you faker, why would you post something like that? Orphe Music Mua said, did he really die or not? I'm trying to find out, but I guess it's just a rumor because I haven't seen official news anywhere. Oh, you dumb bitch. Mokulus said, ha, 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 very funny. You guys think you're something else. And then Mick Gilhesian said, that's a fake. And then Becky Wook said, fuck no, I just found out that he's alive. This is not whatever. I think he's dead now, Dare Bella says.
That was 8 years ago. He might really be dead now.
I had responded to somebody's comment that that's no longer there anymore, and my comment was, LOL, you're the one searching YouTube for JTT videos, you loser. Oh, I was still
seriously shit, how deep dude. In the YouTube do you have to be to stumble upon that?
Yeah. Oh wait, here's some.
Views does it have?
I don't know. Oh, it has about 10,000 views. Here's another couple of responses from me 7 years ago. I don't know who it's to, but sorry, that was not. Oh well, sorry. Wait, you're talking about us? LOL. Dear Lord, why do you even send us? Dear Lord, why do you send us these vindictive 15-year-olds that still hang celebrity posters on their walls? I don't know what the hell else. I agree. I curse them out on their page. I don't know. In either case.
Speaking of YouTube, lots of censorship going on in ad revenue. If they don't like your topic matter.
Is Quarter Life Crisis on? Okay, cool, guys. We're going to take off now. because Quarter Life Crisis is coming up next. But nice. Johnny, you brought something up very, very important. I was going to talk about YouTube tonight, but I want to try to get a guest on first. So I want to give myself another 24 hours to try to get somebody big from YouTube. I'm going to try to pull some strings tomorrow, send some messages, see what's going on. What's going on with YouTube, and Johnny, thanks for the call. What's going on with YouTube is very, very important. They've started to demonetize ways that YouTube channels are able to make money off of things, especially if it has any kind of thought that could be deemed offensive or anything to the microaggression safe spaces that need to become fucking just destroyed, just tied up to trees and punched until they throw their guts up. It's fucking ridiculousness. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And then, you know, we'll have some fun with that. But I'll be a Friday night, so I'll pack a hookah and we'll do it right. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. In about 4 minutes, Quarter Life Crisis is coming up next. Hey, what are you guys talking about tonight?
We are talking about funny Amazon reviews, and we have a new improv game.
Funny Amazon reviews and a new improv game, okay? And their games are great. Fantastic. What was the name of that game that you guys did? Where you put that weird mouthpiece in.
I saw it somewhere online, so we kind of just went with it, but now they actually sell it as a game.
Everybody, this is Ashley.
Hi.
Welcome to the Quite Frankly audience, and my cousin Danny. What's going on, Danny?
Good evening. How you doing, guys?
Danny, that mouth brace game that you guys played was wild.
I was fixated.
It was bizarre.
It was a great game. It's really, really fun, really
funny.
See
what I did just there? I was fixated.
Oral fixation.
It was orally fixated on it. Well, in either case, I'm going to let you guys have your fun, do your thing. Everybody stick around, watch them. We'll be back on the air at 9 o'clock for another good show. And we'll be all throughout the night. We're kind of celebrating Gypsy's birthday. So
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Gypsy.
Happy birthday.
All right, everybody. We'll see you soon. Have a great, great night. And just stick around because the fun's not stopping anytime soon.